right, Genesis chapter 40, verse 23. One short verse. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. You probably know the story. Joseph's in prison for doing nothing but doing right. Joseph is the one character in the Bible other than Jesus, if there's any much information given. A lot of people just mention their name, that's about it. But as far as someone who has been described in any detail, Joseph is the only one who has nothing negative said about him. It does not mean he was perfect. It does not mean he was sinless. It does not mean he did not do wrong, but the Lord, I believe, used Joseph. Number one, he was a godly man. But number two, he used him as a picture of Christ. And Joseph here is being abused. He's being neglected. He's being mistreated. There were dreams dreamed by the butler and the butcher. And they found out that Joseph had the ability given by God to interpret dreams. So he interpreted the butcher's dream. It was that the king was going to kill him. He interpreted the butler's dream. It was that the king would release him and save him alive. As Joseph described and as he foretold, that's exactly what happened. The king killed the butcher and spared the butler. But Joseph said to the butler, when he relieves you, when he releases you, when he lets you go, remember me. I don't blame him. I try and use that opportunity for release also. He is trying to get the butler to just simply repay the favor. I have assisted you. I have been a faithful friend to you. Now I'm just asking you simply, I mean, just tell the king about me. That's all I'm asking. And the butler said, I'll do it, man. You can count on me. I'll not forget. But he did. And notice how it says, it's almost a double. He not only says he did not remember, but it says he forgot. I want to try to preach on this thought. Don't forget the forgotten. Don't forget the forgotten. Joseph was forgotten. And he was forgotten in spite of the fact that he was doing something good. He was being faithful. He's being a faithful Christian, if you want to call him that, believer. He was also being a faithful friend. But the butler forgot it. He forgot all the good things Joseph did to him, did for him. All Joseph did was right. All that Joseph did was that would help the butler. But he was forgotten. I want to say this evening that I want to say to you, sometimes you're forgotten. Sometimes you serve the Lord and do what's right and nobody says, I appreciate that. Sometimes you do sacrificially, right? Sometimes you come to church when you don't feel like it and you're here, you're faithful, you're dependable. When you're not here, we know something's wrong. They're not here. It's not too unusual. But many, I'm looking at some folks who have been faithful. And maybe sometimes you feel like you have been forgotten. You've done what's right and it seems like just nobody's recognized. I want to tell you tonight, number one, the Lord has recognized, but number two, I have recognized. I want you to know if you feel forgotten, you have not been forgotten. This evening, I want to try and deal, as I said, don't forget the forgotten. I want to tell you, being faithful is not always appreciated. You're not always recognized for doing right. Joseph did right, and he not only wasn't appreciated, he was neglected, abused, and mistreated. He suffered for doing right, but he still did right. Next time he had a chance to decide whether to do right or do wrong. You know what he did? He did right again. He's like Paul, none of these things move me. None of these things that come my way keep me from doing right. I applaud a person like that. I applaud you if that's the kind of person you are. To the person who's faithful, I say thank you. To the person who's faithful, I say I've noticed, and so has the Lord. You may feel forgotten, but you haven't been forgotten this evening. I just want to make sure you know that the Lord and this preacher has recognized that you have been faithful. You know, faithful people sometimes are misunderstood. Joseph was. Joseph was misunderstood by his own family. Sound familiar? Not physical family, maybe. Spiritual family. A person who says, I want to walk with God. I want to give my all. I don't want to be halfway. I want to be faithful. I want to please my Lord no matter what. That kind of person is misunderstood sometimes even by God's people. Joseph was like that. They misunderstood his desire. You won't have to turn back in verse 2 of chapter 37. It says that Joseph was 17 years old, and he and his brother were feeding the flock. Well, they were all doing it, but only Joseph wanted to. Only Joseph had that desire. I want to please my father. I want to do what's right. You know what? His brothers misunderstood that. Even though he did right and he had a desire to please the father, the brothers turned against him and neglected him, to say the least, but wronged him also. Sometimes that's what happens when somebody who has a desire, a hunger, God has stirred your heart this week. Don't be surprised that other people don't appreciate that. Don't be surprised if you're misunderstood. When you show forth the desire to serve God and please Him, don't be surprised if everybody doesn't applaud. Even in the own family, his own brothers misunderstood him and did not like the fact that he had a desire to please his father. They misunderstood him because of his desire and because of his devotion. You know, Joseph's father made him a coat of many colors. And it's obvious, it's very obvious, the father loved Joseph. Just as well say it, more than the other brothers. I mean, that's just... And many people have abused that and say that he was wrong in doing that. And he did sort of maybe favor him in some ways. But I am convinced the reason that Joseph got so many good things from the father was because he loved the father. And he was closest to the father. And he wanted to do the father's will more than any other brother. And I just want to tell you, the closer you are to the father, the more good stuff you get from him. But his brothers didn't like that. His devotion, they didn't understand him. Why he was sold out to the father, they just did not understand that. And maybe that's how you feel. Maybe somebody in your immediate family, maybe somebody in the church family, they don't understand why you're so peculiar. Why in the world can't you just lighten up a little bit? Do you have to be so devoted? Do you have to go on Wednesday night? Do you have to go every Sunday night? Do you have to do all day? Every time the church doors are open, do you have to be there? Some people don't understand that, but if you're devoted to the Father, that's the way you are. That's the way you want to be. There's a devotion involved with Joseph's life, and he was misunderstood because of it. He was misunderstood because of his desire. He wanted to please the Father. He was misunderstood because of the devotion. He was devoted to the Father and his will. Sold out. Lock, stock, and barrel. And that's why he received so many good things. If you're sold out, if the Lord stirs in your heart and increases your hunger for God, and you tell somebody and they don't understand, don't be surprised about that. Don't be surprised if the other, even Christians, don't appreciate your hunger, your desire. Hey, he was misunderstood because of his dreams. I believe sometimes Joseph probably thought later on, I wish I'd never said a word. telling his dreams got him in trouble. It was like the last straw on the camel's back. Boy, the brothers just went wild when he told them his dreams about sheaves and about cattle. And clearly he's saying, one day you'll bow down to me. And they couldn't handle that. They couldn't handle that. But he was saying exactly what God had said. Sometimes people don't appreciate when you tell them the truth or you stand on the truth. Oh, I want to tell you, his dreams got him in trouble. But his dreams was from God. I just want to say, no matter what, just keep on walking with God. You may be misunderstood like Joseph. The faithful sometimes are misunderstood. The faithful sometimes are mistreated. Now, you're talking about somebody mistreated Joseph was. I'm talking about it. The butler forgot him. He forgot. He just let it slip his mind. He wasn't concerned enough, thankful enough, appreciative enough to just say to the king, by the way, I want to tell you, there's a man down there in your prison that can interpret dreams. Oh, that's all he had to say. But he didn't. He forgot his... Joseph was faithful, and he was forgotten about it. Faithful people can be misunderstood, and faithful people can be mistreated. These brothers literally wanted to destroy him. Remember they took him? Said, let's throw him into a pit. To begin with, the first thing they said was, let's just do away with him completely. Let's get him out of our hair. And if the Lord does a work in your heart, some of the people that will fight against it more than anybody else are believers. At least they say they are. Brothers and sisters in Christ can fight against the work that God has done. And what they really want to do, what really the devil wants to do, is use them to kill in you what God has done. He wants to stifle that fire. He wants to disappoint you and discourage you and depress you. And what God is working in your heart, he wants to do away with. He'll do it any way he can. Even if he has to use somebody who you love. Faithful people sometimes can be mistreated. They come in verse 23 of chapter 37 and they strip him. They not only wanted to destroy him, throw him in the pit, let him die, but they took his clothes off, at least the coat of many colors, I should say, because that represented his relationship with the Father. They couldn't handle it. So they not only wanted to destroy him, they wanted to disgrace him. They wanted him to become a laughing stock. That coat represented his walk with the Father, his relationship with the Father. Good things from the Father. His closest to his Father. They couldn't stand it. And there'll be people who cannot. Hey, I want to tell you, there'll be people who cannot stand your close walk with the Lord. Maybe I'll just stop here right now and say, have you experienced any of that? If we haven't, maybe that tells us how faithful we are or aren't. Because this happens to faithful people. This happens to people who have walked with God and surrendered to the Lord and yielded to Him and hungry for Him and obedient to Him. They said, we'll just get rid of him. They said, we'll just disown him. He ain't one of me. He ain't none of our family. I'm talking about what will happen to those who are faithful. Faithful people can be misunderstood and faithful people can be mistreated. Faithful people can be misused. Genesis 39:1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. What that simply says is the Ishmaelites bought Joseph off his brothers. And the Ishmaelites brought Joseph to Potiphar, the king. And Potiphar bought him like a piece of meat, like a slab of meat hanging in the street, like a slave. I'm telling you, he was misused. He was abused. And sometimes God's people can be abused. Your neighbor, person at work, maybe your own family, maybe people in the church. I hope not. They don't understand your zeal when you have it. They don't understand that rekindled desire. Faithful people can be misunderstood, and faithful people can be mistreated. Faithful people can be misused, but I want to say this, and this is really the message. Faithful people can be mentioned. The time came that the butler said, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, my bad. Pharaoh, I'm sorry. Don't be mad at me. Don't put me to death, but I remember now. I was supposed to remember, but I forgot. There's a man down there in the prison. He interpreted my dream one time." Sooner or later, Joseph was mentioned. He wasn't forgotten any longer. And all that he had done that was good and right, suddenly, all of a sudden, it is at least to some point appreciated. It is valued now. Even the ungodly Pharaoh sees the value of what's in Joseph. I want to tell you something. You stay faithful. Somebody will see that good in you. Somebody will see God in you. They'll make a difference. It'll make a difference in somebody else's life. And tonight I want to do exactly, don't worry, I'm not starting again. I'm not starting over. I know where I'm at and what time it is. Faithful people can be mentioned. Paul said that. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul said, I just want to tell you, saints, I hadn't forgotten you. I remember you quite often, and when I do, I pray for you. I want to say faithful people can be mentioned. Faithful people can be remembered. And this evening, I want to say to some faithful people, thank you. I appreciate it. I don't take it lightly. I know where you see it. And I know if you're not there, if you're faithful, something's wrong. Now, I'll be honest, this does not apply to everybody. But thank the Lord, most of the people here. If you're faithful, this applies to you. If you're not faithful, it surely applies to you because you need to get faithful. Joseph was a man who did right. No matter what, no matter who, no matter when, no matter what it cost him, he did right. And that's called being faithful. And sooner or later, somebody noticed. And God blessed him. And I want to say this evening, I've noticed. You have not been forgotten. I may not say it every service. I may not say it every month. I may not say it to you personally. It may be too long since I've said it, but I want to say it to all of you who are faithful. Thank you. I appreciate it. I have noticed. I want to say I'm thankful for people who have loved. I really believe we're more than just associates. We're more than just acquaintances. We're more than just pastor and members and people who sit on a pew. I believe this. I hope I'm right. We're friends. I believe that. I don't struggle. Some preachers do. They want to be named doctor. Well, you don't have to worry about that because I don't have a doctorate degree. Well, they want to be named pastor or reverend. No, leave that alone. I don't want that. I don't mind you calling me Brother Rick. I don't mind that. I don't think that's belittling, because I think we're close. Now, I understand the respect of the office. I understand that. I really do. And I think there ought to be respect. And I think the position deserves some respect. But I don't mind being Rick. I don't mind that. Can I tell you the truth? I like it. I really do. As long as it's not disrespectful, man, what in the world's wrong with that? I'm not Superman. I'm not super sane. I'm just me. Just to get you to call me Rick, I ought to be honored. I'm talking about I want to thank the Lord for people who have loved. There's all kinds of people here. All kinds of personalities, all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of little beliefs. I hope we're settled on the major things, but there's some people, some of the things I believe you don't. Some of the things I stand for, you don't. Some of the things you may stand for, I don't. There's different opinions, there's different tastes, there's different likes, there's different personalities. And far as I can tell, we get along pretty good. And God has meshed us together. I don't take that lightly. And one of the reasons is because you've been faithful. You have been willing to love some sometimes unlovable people. Unloving people, nice people, not all the time. I want to thank you. I want to say I've noticed. I have not forgotten the forgotten. I want to thank you for loving. Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily such as should be saved. Part of what happened to cause the Lord to add people to be saved was not only favor with God and walking with Him, but favor with each other. Favor with all the people. That word favor literally means gratitude, appreciative. What they did and how they acted to each other made everybody glad for everybody. Boy, what a blessing. I'm talking about I'm thankful for people who have loved. There's times that you've loved me and others when we probably didn't really deserve it. You may say, hey, you never do. Well, I hope that's not true. But I know there's been times I've done dumb things. There's been times I've done things that was wrong, didn't mean to. Sometimes I've made mistakes and done things wrong around here and made wrong decisions. And most of you, I hope, have said, well, that's Rick. When I announce the wrong date and tell you the wrong time and tell you to go to the wrong place, you just say, well, that's Rick. Let's find somebody who really does know. You love me anyway. I'll tell you what, I appreciate that. When somebody has done you wrong, you want to work through it. You don't want to keep that bitterness. You don't want to keep that anger. You want to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. That speaks highly of you. I want to say I have not missed that. I have not forgotten that. I have not overlooked that. I'm thankful for people who have loved. I'm thankful for people who have labored. You know what I heard Brother Steve asking, I believe, Andrew, you building an usher tonight? You know how much I worried this afternoon about ushers for this evening? Not that much. Because we have somebody who has been assigned and said, I will do it, and he does it. You know how much I worried about this church being a mess this week? Not that much. Because we have people who said, we'll do it, and they are faithful to do it. You want to know how much I worry about, most of the time I should say this, about teachers and singers and grass and everything else about this church? Most of the time, not hardly at all. Most of the time, none. You know why? Because there's people here who are faithful to labor. They have said, I will do it, and they do it. And therefore, I don't have to worry. I want to tell you, that's a load off my back. You ask the average, well, you ask any pastor who's a pastor, what the heaviest load is, and he'll tell you, it's not the faithful people. It's the people who you just can't count on. Don't know if they're going to be here or not. You have a revival, you don't know if they come. They come two or three services, you don't know if they will the next time. You ask any pastor who he weeps over, it'll be those kind of people. It's not the steadfast person who most of you are. It's those. We don't notice the stars that are up there so much. We notice the falling stars. And that's how it is, unfortunately, with those who aren't faithful. You just have to spend more attention on them. You have to pray for them more. You have to try to help them more. There's more of a weight for those who aren't faithful. So I want to tell you, those who are faithful to labor, I salute you and thank you and bless your heart. I didn't forget you. I hadn't forgotten you. I want to thank the Lord for those who have been faithful and have listened. You have allowed the Lord to speak to your heart. And sometimes when I come and you think maybe I'm mad, and sometimes I might be, I don't know, I'll just brush through this real quick if you don't mind. Well, you just come from my point of view and see if you don't think you'd get mad every once in a while too. But I will brush on through that. But you come, you are faithful to come, and you, even though you know me and know me well, you don't listen, as what's Rick saying today. But you do, even though you know me well, look at what is God saying to me. This is not Rick talking out of his head. He's not Rick just saying what he wants to say. It's not him just unloading his load. It's God. And some of you look at it that way, y'all, because that's the way it is. And I want to thank you for being faithful to come to a preacher that you hear all the time. And I get tired of hearing me too, by the way. But you still listen. And you're letting God speak to your heart. Not everybody does, by the way. I've said already, this message is not for everybody. It is for those who are faithful. And it is for those who aren't, because you need to start doing what is right. I want to say I have not missed it. I have not forgotten. I have not ignored or overlooked the fact that you listen when God touches your heart and you stand up and testify. Man, you better believe that helps me. When you say, I got a song in my heart, or when you sing a particular song because God moved you, or when you come and I know you're really burdened, and I know it would be easy to have stayed home, but you come because you want to hear. You want God to speak to you. You listen to the Holy Spirit in your service here, but you listen to the Holy Spirit as far as getting here and listening to Him when He comes and when He speaks. I want to say I haven't forgotten you. I haven't ignored you. You have not been missed. And I want to say I'm thankful for people who have learned. I'm trying to remember who I was talking to. Maybe Brother Tony. Doesn't seem like I remember who it was now. When I came to this church, you think I'm dumb now. When I came to this church, I was dumb, dumb. I mean, I was dumb, dumb. Bad thing about it, I was going to school, and they taught me how to do it, and I got out of school, and I found out their junk don't work. So by the time the Lord put me in this church, I was so low, honestly. When Brother Carl called and said, I just want to be the first one to congratulate my new pastor, I thought, and this is what I said. I said, oh, no. And he said, well, that ain't what I expected. I don't guess he did, but I want to tell you, I knew how nothing I was, and I still know how nothing I am. But through the years, I've learned some, and you've learned some. So hopefully we're more mature now, and more informed now, and more aware now, more sensitive now. I thank the Lord for people who have learned. You've allowed the Lord to speak to you and mold you. You've stayed focused on the will of God. There's been times you've come and the service was so dead, you wondered what in the world happened. And so have I. But you came the next service too. Because you wanted to learn, you wanted to get something from God, you wanted help from God, and you've been faithful. I want to say I thank the Lord for the people who have led. You've been an example. You've been an example to me. I'll tell you, I know I'm the pastor, and I know I'm supposed to be super saint and all that stuff, but I want to tell you, there's sometimes just seeing somebody walking with the Lord and walking with God and being faithful through troublesome times, and man, it's a help to me. You've led because you've been an example. Your faithfulness, not just in being here, but faithfulness in walking with the Lord, it's been an example. You've led somebody, your life touched. You may not even know. But I want to say I thank you for that type of walk, that type of devotion. You come sometimes when you'd rather do something else. But you put the Lord and the church before recreation and before fun and sometimes even before family. That's praying material there. I don't take that lightly. I don't overlook that. It helps an old preacher. It helps a pastor to see people like that. I'm telling you, you lead me. You encourage me. You're an example to me and to others. I want to say I thank you for that. You've prayed for the service. You've asked God to move. You've listened to the Lord. And you've been sensitive when you came. And when God touched your heart, you obeyed Him. I want to say, if you've done that, not only does the Lord know it, but I'm aware of it, that's something to be thankful for. I'll just say this, and I'll try and move on and be done. Every time you pray, when the preacher gets touched, God uses him to help somebody else, you're part of that. When the singer comes and they come anointed and sing with a touch and they get help and people get help and God gets honored. You've prayed for that, you get a little bit of honor. You're part of that. When somebody comes and gets saved and you've prayed for that service and you've prayed for the lost out there where nobody knew, but God knew. I'm going to tell you, you get a little bit of the benefit, if you will. A little bit of the, I say this word, a little bit of the praise because of you were a part of it. I'll say this. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, God started it, and he's not stopping till you see him. And that's what he wants to do in all of us. If you've been faithful, I thank you. Man, it helps me more. You have no idea. You have no idea. You just don't know. By the way, I didn't say a word to Brother Leon when he said, don't disappoint the pastor. I didn't say a word. He just knows what being a pastor is. You have no idea what me seeing you walk with God, what it does for me. You better believe I hadn't overlooked it. I want to say this evening, I have not forgotten the forgotten. Sometimes you're forgotten, but not by the Lord, not by me. Listen to this verse. They started talking about this new movement, this Christianity thing. What are we going to do about it? Somehow we got to stop this. Man alive. Try and stop a bulldozer with a flea if you want to. You'll be about as much successful. But here's what was said in their little meeting. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For this council, this movement, if this council or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. Lest happily we be found to even fight against God. Boy, he was right. He said, if this thing is man, if this thing is of man, we ain't got to do nothing. It'll play out. Others have come and said they had the truth and it died out and they've forgotten. But he says, if this is of God, we can't do anything about it because we'll be fighting against God himself. I'll tell you, this church, I am convinced, has been ordained of God. It is his church, his work. And I'm convinced God wants to do something mighty here, and he wants to do it by doing something in us. And if it's the Lord's will, I sure do want to be a part of it. Paul again said, none of this moved me. All the stuff I went through didn't deviate me one bit from the path of walking with God. That's the attitude we need. Let's stand together.